Money Talks, brought to you by Chase Wealth.
We are back with Martin Lewis, Paul Chase, who is our resident money expert. Are you getting a bit bored of this reference?
Not at all. No, I just wish I had his money, that was all.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And of course, that's what we talk about with Paul from Chase Wealth. And we had a fabulous show last week where you joined us live in the studio. We had so many questions in that we didn't have time to cover them all. So I thought, do you know what? Let's get you back. And thank you for coming in.
Very welcome.
We are going to cover as many as we can in this section. There has been something in the news again about, again, rising energy bills and general sort of cost of living. We'll come back to that. And first of all, we'll see if we can tie up some of these questions. So one that was sent in during the show, which is about mortgages and fixed periods and such like. So this texter messaged in and they said, my mortgage fixed period is up next year. What would be your advice about refixing? Also, can I refix with the same provider or do I need to move? What would you say about that?
Okay, well, the first very simple answer is that yes, of course, you can refix with the lender that you're currently with. That is by far the simplest option. An alternative option, as you've alluded to in the question, is actually to move to a different lender, which is a process called remortgaging, where you'd actually have to effectively apply for your mortgage again. If you stick with the same lender that you're actually with already, then all you really need to do is select a new interest rate with them from the range that they've got available at the time. So far simpler to actually do that. Always shop around though, because some banks will actually offer lower rates. They also offer packages to cover the valuation. Maybe they'll offer you a rate with no booking fee. There's always going to be an advocate fee for moving as well. You basically have to pay off the old mortgage, take out the new one and reapply the charge. So yeah, it's definitely worth shopping around just to see what's available. But more than likely, it's best to probably stick with the same lender.
Is it worth, if you do see something that looks attractive with a different lender or with the same lender, is it ever worth coming out of a fixed rate mortgage early? Because, of course, you're potentially going to incur a penalty, early repayment fees, aren't you?
We've actually been asked this question many, many times over the last few months simply because of the interest rates going up and up and up. A lot of people have said to us, well, look, you know, I'm due out next year in terms of my fixed rate. I'm concerned that interest rates are going to continue to rise. So by the time my rate is available to refix, what will be out there on the market is actually going to be a lot higher. The problem with it is the banks have factored in penalties to the extent where you effectively pay the same interest as you would do as if you kept that mortgage for the full term of the rate itself. So we're looking at penalties of 3%, even up to 5% if it's a five-year fixed mortgage rate. So therefore, you know, on a typical 100,000 mortgage, £5,000 penalty. You're not going to make that money back from that process. And of course, people have actually got much bigger than 100,000 mortgages given the price of property on the Isle of Man.
Okay, that's good to know. And again, I'll come back to this notion of us being somewhat at a disadvantage sometimes on the Isle of Man. Are there many choices on the Isle of Man when it comes to shopping around?
We've got five main high street lenders. They are basically, due to the UK ring fencing, that they basically set their own interest rates nowadays. They are largely linked to the UK because they all have parent companies over there. But yeah, there's a choice of the five main ones. There's a couple of bespoke lenders as well, which we can look at. But we have a range. It is limited.
It's always the case when you're over here. Sticking with this theme of property and mortgages and such like, we did have quite a lengthy email in from a young person who was saying that they, I mean, I class them as young because I'm much older than this. They're 30.
Me too.
Say, yeah, thank you.
Not that I'm 30. I'm much older than that.
Oh dear. And they say, I'm 30, married, have a baby on the way. I can't see us being in a position to buy a property for at least 2 years, maybe four if we decide to have another one close together. Loads of my friends facing similar problems here. Basically, they're just getting very frustrated with the housing market and they're saying it seems basically like it's just unachievable, this idea of having property. Now, they raise a point in their question which confused me a little bit because they're asking why rent is not considered when looking at your monthly spendings when you're going for a mortgage and how much you can afford to pay a month for a mortgage. Is that true? Is it?
It's not. Basically, the lenders, when you approach them for a mortgage application, they'll look at evidence of affordability. And obviously, the rents which you're paying at the moment, which will stop after the mortgage is in place, they can take that as a proof or demonstration of the affordability. Likewise, if you had personal consumer debts, such as car loans and things, the fact that you're able to pay that out and pay it out successfully, if that debt then ends before the mortgage begins, you can actually utilise that and say, look, here's demonstration of affordability. So, yeah. Yep, rental payments, they will factor in.
And you do obviously deal with an awful lot of people coming to you to talk about mortgages, to talk about getting on the property ladder. Would you still advise it is still a good thing to try and get your foot on the ladder, or is it worth holding out for a few years and seeing what happens?
It's a very difficult question. The market on the Isle of Man has changed significantly over the last sort of 3 years. The prices have gone up, as we all are aware, quite significantly. I'm always an advocate for saying, yes, if you can get onto the property ladder, then do so. If you look back to when my father bought his first house back in the early 70s, it was around about, I think it was about £70,000. £7,200.
£7,000, yeah, more likely.
And nowadays it'll be worth well over £300,000 or £400,000. So the fact of inflation and property prices, they will continue to increase. So I would say get onto the property ladder as soon as you can, if you're able to and if it's affordable. Obviously, people sort of come along and say, well, if I can afford rent, I can afford a mortgage. And that is still true. Even though interest rates have gone up, we're often seeing that rental payments are higher than what the mortgage equivalent would be.
So if at the end of it you end up with a property, then
absolutely, and every payment you're making, you're paying down that capital that you owe on the mortgage itself. So rather than paying for somebody else's mortgage, you're paying for your own.
Obviously, there are those additional costs, though, when you have your own property, which you have to bear in mind as well, which is the whole point of going to see someone like Paul and his team, because they can talk you through what those costs are and whether you can afford them. But, you know, this person does say, and this is not unusual, they saw a two-bed old cottage just outside Port St Mary. It does have a loft conversion, but only a small garden, some fairly nice views, but it's on the main road. £650,000, and that's reduced from nearly £700,000. As they say, so unrealistic, isn't it? You know, what are you going to get as a young person nowadays? It's so difficult for them.
It is difficult. We see a lot of clients coming in with properties that maybe need quite a lot of work done to them, which brings its own problems as well, because obviously if they're coming along with having just saved the deposit, the banks may actually hold retentions on properties that need works done to them, if it needs a new roof or if it needs a electrical work or so. So that's not ideal either. One piece of good news that the government have issued just about 2 weeks ago now is that they've actually changed the first-time buyer scheme, which has now become more accessible. They've taken the caps off of the purchase prices on the choice scheme, which is the one where you can go and find a property on the open market. They're also reviewing it further, and they're actually going to do some work on that from September onwards. And we're very hopeful that we'll come up with a very robust first-time buyer scheme, which will enable the people such as the person that's written in to actually get onto the property ladder and encourage them to stay on the Isle of Man, which is the key thing.
Again, super helpful. Thanks so much, Paul. Just let people know where they can find you.
Yep, so it's Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions, 10 to 12 Prospect Hill in Douglas.
Chase Wealth, celebrating 25 years of providing advice on mortgages, protection, investments, pension and cash flow planning to island residents. Money Talks on 1 to 3.